all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome to the Dog Poet Lounge in the ambiance area of the Saucer Pod. Tonight we are hovering inside our own mind, because that's the place where it all starts, and where we identify everything we encounter or only dream about, and that is where dreams take place, too. This is actually where everything takes place that takes place, inside and outside you, because everything is mind. Physicists have already proven that the universe is thought-born. I'm talking about physicists, not metaphysicians. I'm talking about mathematicians. We are, each of us, trapped in the idea of a personal mind. Imagine if that were not the case and you were unified with the cosmic mind. That is the ticket. That's the portion of what enlightenment and self-realization are all about. That is what the self is, the real self. Yesterday at Reflections in a Petri Dish blog, I presented a technique that got received with various portions of reaction, from indifference to scorn, though I think a lot of people who didn't comment might have gone ahead and applied it with different degrees of consistency and intent. For some reason, some people thought it was some sort of commitment apart from what they were already comfortable doing, when in fact it plays into anything anyone is doing as a positive turbo drive in respect of it. As I've been trying to explain, and as I've pointed out in the introduction to tonight's broadcast, the mind is where everything happens. If your mind is cluttered with useless things, then your life is cluttered with useless things. If your mind is filled with fearful things, then your life is going to be attended by pronounced shadows, and you could become an exemplification of that term from the Bible, what we have feared has come upon us. If your life is filled with desires, then your mind is filled with smoke, and you can't see the forest for the impure flames clouding your vision, which makes the world a more dangerous place than it has to be. What if you could clear your mind out entirely, and even get rid of those quieter and possibly more long-term resident thoughts, including the subliminal traffic that unconsciously causes people to bite their nails and demonstrate various neuroses? What if you could do that? If you could empty your mind for periods of time, and if it also were true that it got easier and easier each time you did it, you could develop a certain confidence concerning it, and you could create an environment for the appearance of the divine. How likely is it that the divine will appear if you already have a room full of annoying people talking in loud voices? The Lord is quite shy. Unless it's one of those times when he intends to get your attention, and especially if he's come around to kick your butt. I know a simple technique that will, if properly practiced for the length of time necessary, vastly improve your life over what it is now. You simply cast out every thought that enters your mind. You can punctuate the effort with short bursts of air expelled from your nostrils. This isn't strictly necessary, but it adds an effective drama that gives the mind the impression it's doing something. Think about a cobra. You don't have to be forceful in any way about it. You simply need to be emphatic in the belief that you are accomplishing it. Don't consider any other option except that you will succeed and shortly be sitting atop an empty mind under your control and in a waiting state for the appearance of the divine. Having full confidence that the divine will show up is imperative. Does the divine exist? Of course. Then don't diddle-daddle about it. Turn your worst enemy into your best friend. Do it today. You're going to need the best friend, that best friend, in the times to come, and let's face it, doesn't matter what time it is. It makes everything at any time supremely easier. People everywhere are looking for a formula to get their life together without addressing the root problem, which is the mind engaged in all of it to begin with. Disengage and things will follow out to their logical conclusion on their own, but meanwhile, catch the ball before it bounces off the wall, or as soon as you can after it bounces off the wall, and control all the balls you toss from there on out. Everything takes place in the mind. Let me say it again. Everything takes place in the mind. The mind also colors everything that takes place with its own interpretation. Its own interpretation and definitions that we place upon everything. We become imprisoned by our own definitions of good and evil, or have them grafted upon us because we are willing to accept them. That's the case with so many people. Everything is defined for them before they even get around to defining it themselves. This is what social pressure does for us, and the routine right and wrong that we interact with is changing all the time, and changes according to where you go and who you were with, and what state of consciousness you're in. Liberate and awaken the one within you, and you won't have to concern yourself with right and wrong anymore or anything else. When God is your companion, the weight of decision and judgment has been removed to the degree that God is present, and the divine becomes more and more present. The more absent from acting out of the false self that we become, and the more there is room for the divine to expand into, which is the point of emptying the mind. You can't pour more water into a bucket that's already full. I mentioned that in a little over a month, I'm going on a long and protracted journey to other countries. I won't be coming into America for all kinds of good reasons, but I will be close by. And if you should be able to get into the deep Southwest, we can probably meet up and exchange some other important techniques as well. And generally socialize in a pretty good climate of possibility. Keep it in mind. Today I was talking about how we set the divine at a distance from ourselves over visible origami. This is one of the signal errors we make in our quest to find the one. The other error is not putting enough time and effort into it and then being disappointed with God for not coming around when we didn't show the requisite sincerity and fortitude that is absolutely required. The divine is not impressed with half-hearted efforts. And God changes the channel. It's all or nothing with the divine. Once you get to where you're able to embrace that concept, you can understand what is expected of you. If other things hold a greater attachment for your attention, then God will leave you to it. God knows that the final result of any of this is sorrow and disappointment. God can wait until your sorrow and disappointment have had their way with you. The divine has forever. That needs to be understood. I've used the image of the mother and child any number of times in various presentations. The mother loves the child more than the child can know. The child is fascinated with the world outside and is drawn to the noise and excitement of it. The mother knows full well what waits out there, but what can she do? She does not want to deny the child the freedom of experience, and she knows, with a wisdom older than time, that the child will return to her, soiled and muddy from the playground, and then she will take the child and clean it and restore it in her presence. Something we also need to look out for on our way is a tendency toward mean-spiritedness. I noticed it in my Facebook page today, and I've seen it cropping up here and there for whatever the reason. In some cases, people get offended by all the nice things people say about me, which generally means they wish someone was saying it about them, and really, that's up to them in any case. I don't take these things seriously. Not so as I think they grant me any importance, because I don't have any importance in relation to the one who's really important. It surprises me as much as anyone that people say the things they do about me. It has to do with some kind of resonance, and I can't figure that out either. I get told things by my invisible friends, but they often sound a little too fantastic to be real, and we'll see all about all that anyway. I don't guess people realize that it's not an easy thing to have to hear all these things and be so aware of your own shortcomings, and sometimes it doesn't even seem to matter when I screw up on purpose just to change the tone a little, but even that doesn't seem to work anymore, so I think it's safe to say I don't have to do that anymore because it doesn't do any good. It's important to keep in mind that all the people who are so fully in support of you can change in an instant, depending on the motivation. At the basic level, the divine controls all of this, even how people feel about you. Most people don't get the degree of divine control over everything. This is why I know that no matter how much power some people seem to think they have or appear to have, it can change in a heartbeat. The divine can simply throw a switch and cut all the power off. The divine can appear as a single person and destroy all the armies of the world. The divine can transform the world into paradise anytime the divine chooses. The divine is aware of every thought that passes through your head at every moment. Everything you think and feel and do is seen in cinemascope, seen right through your own eyes. People think out of sight, out of mind, and they act according to that primary fallacy. Just because you don't see the divine in full glory does not mean the divine is not intimately integrated with everything at all times, and has, in fact, constructed or allowed them to be constructed out of his or her own being, and can appear in full glory anytime, anywhere, and any place, and also appear as a wino slouched against a storefront on a busy sidewalk, and probably has done so more than once. There's a phrase in the Bible about treating with angels unaware. That's something to remain always aware of. In India, they greet each other with namaste, and the hands together in an attitude of prayer and then extended forward. What they are saying is, I salute the God within you. Why do they do that? Because it's a fact. If you salute the God in each other, there's a likelihood that God will come forward in the exchange. I've had it happen, and it's a wonderful and surprising thing. You never know when God will speak to you through someone you know or even a stranger. When you're attuned to it, all kinds of things, all kinds of amazing things are possible. When you're not tuned to it, you're stuck in the routine where the magic is sleeping and the BS is always on the ascendant. That's where the material world puts you when you grant it the power to control your reality because you want things from it. This is one of the dumbest rituals that humanity engages in. It goes looking for everything it wants in the places where it's hardest to get them and where the cost is more dear than they know. And under the circumstances where the enjoyment factor is greatly reduced, if it's present at all, and all you have to do is ask the divine personally. It would be even better to ask the divine to give you what you need and to ask for the spiritual gifts and qualities that make life worth living no matter where you are. The divine possesses everything and is the supreme enjoyer of everything. It doesn't make sense to go anywhere else to get anything else when you can get everything under one roof, which would be the roof of heaven. And you get the power to enjoy it too. This is hidden from most people by their own selfishness. It's frankly amazing what is responsible for concealing from us the things most important to us. It's all caused by the qualities that are the least desirable in us. The transparency of existence is there to marvel at by those whose own deceptions have not closed their eyes to what is taking place right in front of them. This is how people can go through their whole lives unaware of the indescribable wonder that surrounds them. It's a puzzle and a mystery. You can explain it to people. Sometimes they'll even nod their heads, but they won't hear you. And it's a strange affair, and make no mistake, it's like walking through the world's biggest open-air mental institution. It's like being surrounded by somnambulists who get angry when you shake their shoulder. Many of you know what I mean, because you have to move through the same world. We can become frustrated by this. We can get angry. We can get into all sorts of positions in respect of the things we can't change and doubt our ability to have any influence on it at all. The fact is that we don't have any influence of the sort we seek to have because we are not the influence. The influence moves through us when we no longer resist its movement through us by insisting on being the influence. if that makes any sense. The whole thing rests on whether we get out of the way or get in the way. It just doesn't seem to occur to people to have their chops together before they rush the stage. They're afraid their moment won't come unless they push the moment. And subsequently, they screw their timing up and come off balance and without the influence needed influence. We don't have to worry about missing our moment because it's all the same moment forever and ever, amen. Why would anyone want to succeed before they were in a position to handle it? Why would anyone want to expose themselves as a fool to the whole world rather than simply maintain that fact in front of the few people who already know that they are? I find myself laughing so often these days at the absurdity of it all. I find myself laughing at the absurdity of me, too. I don't get off scot-free in this whole mirage of carnival freaks. None of us do. And that is why I'm going with the winner, and I suggest you do the same. It is preferable to have the divine appear within you for an extended engagement than to show up all by yourself and have to rely on your wits or someone darker. Well, that's how it is with me at the moment. And I get the sensation we're approaching the end of another broadcast, so it's coming to time for me to bid you adieu and offer the prayer that the one will appear within you, and you will no longer be two. You will be whole. All right. I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, seek the light and call out to the light and be convinced that the light will come to you and banish your darkness forever. That said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Aru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.